Good afternoon and welcome to our virtual meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on March 9th, 2021, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. In accordance with the Governor's Proclamation 20-28.15, we are holding meetings remotely. Online, we have Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Ann Spangler, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, our Commission and Executive Services Director, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Lila Wall, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present today. Please mute and turn off the camera on your devices when not speaking. I'll ask for questions or comments on agenda items as each item is discussed. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Some questions can be answered during the meeting, but others may require more time. Please indicate you'd like to speak by clicking raise hand, or if joining us by phone today, *9, and I will call on you to speak at the appropriate time. Commissioner Wolf, is there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda today?
I am not aware of any.
Okay, this meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, state and spell your name, indicate where you're from. Comments from the public is item 3 on today's agenda, and that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first up, we have item 2, recognition. We have our team of the month for March, our bill estimation team. And let me introduce Jason Dukowski, Dean Galvez, Pam Bailey, and Scott Jones to present the award.
Yep. All right, thank you.
All the recipients could turn on their camera, that would be great. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Logan. And it is my pleasure to introduce the team. And first off, I just wanna say this team did an outstanding job of coming together at what was a difficult time and working on an issue, estimated bills, working through a continuous improvement process to improve estimated bills, which have been, difficult for our customers in the PUD in the past. And the outcome was really outstanding. They did a fantastic job. It was a cross-functional team, included rates, IT, finance, customer service, and distribution engineering services. They looked at weather data, premise information, heat type, billing history, and other information to improve the estimates. The work included estimated bill process, improving and designing, redesigning that process, development, integration, and end-to-end testing before implementation. It was done, in an expedited fashion. When we went to estimated bills, the question was, can we improve them? And of course, we want to do that as quickly as we could. And I know a lot of folks on the team worked a lot of long hours to get this done in an expedited fashion, and just really appreciate that. It was also done right when we switched to the pandemic and, when the pandemic started and we switched to work from home, learning how to collaborate virtually. We were using Skype at the time. Certainly, wasn't as easy as Teams is now, but they did an outstanding job of working together, handling, changes in their personal lives as well as the work life to get this work done. So congratulations to the team. Thank you all for the wonderful job and really appreciate it. And
all right.
I'll turn it over to Dean and Scott and Pam for any additional comments.
Thank you, Jason. I just want to thank the team for your contributions, commitment, and collaboration on this major improvement effort. We recognize how complex, any change to the billing system is. It's high risk and it's high impact. And as a team, you made this look really easy and implemented it with no issues and transparency. So great, great work, and we thank you. Pam, Scott?
Thank you. I also want to say thank you. A huge thanks to everyone. As Jason and Dean said, it's great collaboration. You know, estimated bills is a process that we have to use from time to time, and have for our customers to have confidence in that process is so important. And your work, your outstanding work on this, just helps us to gain that improved accuracy, so that confidence will always be there for our customers. So thank you so much. It's just an outstanding job, and we're so very proud of each and every one of you.
This is Scott Jones. The only other thing I'll add is I think one of the things we have to keep in mind is this has a linkage with safety for us. A lot of times when we're standing down the meter readers, it is about safety. It's about weather. It was about the pandemic. It's about the tough choices that we have to make about putting people in the field. And so, you know, oddly enough, this helps us make better safety kinds of decisions, because the more confidence we have in the estimation process, the better we'll be feeling about making those decisions, and safety is our first priority or first value. And so in an interesting way, this does help further those goals from a safety standpoint, so we can make those decisions about, you know, the meter readers and their safeties and precarious positions with a lot more confidence. But you know, I'll add my thanks again. Really appreciate everyone's hard work on this. It was truly a lot of people across several different departments. So it was a great collaboration effort at lots of levels and lots of departments. So much appreciated.
John, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'm just going to chime in really quick with one of the big reasons that this group well deserves this award is for putting up with me. And I know I was a pain in the butt around this estimated bill process. So they deserve a huge kudos for that. But again, I could not be prouder of this group. That was, as Scott and Jason and Pam commented, an extremely complicated process, way, way over my head. Everything always seems much simpler, and these guys did make it look pretty easy. So great job.
Yeah, I'll just want to say from my perspective, it went incredibly well. You've continued to improve this process. And I was sort of worried when we started into the pandemic, knowing that it would be multiple months. And if there was any errors, those errors would likely compound. And, you know, I got nothing but positive feedback. Our customers seemed to understand. My own bill was very accurate, and I was very impressed. So I know that's really challenging to do, and I appreciate you guys all coming together. The irony is we're going to get really good at this, and then we're going to have advanced metering, and hopefully we won't have to be doing this. So anyway, my hat's off to you guys. How many months did we do it? How many billing cycles?
You mean for estimation, Commissioner?
Yeah, for estimation.
We for the pandemic purposes, we stood down for about 2 months. Now we did have a very small group of folks that snuck out for some of the big commercial industrial reads, just to try to make sure that we got some of the accuracy on some of those bigger ones, because those were away from populations and people and stuff, and we could read those more easily. But you know, one thing to keep in mind is we do use the estimation process pretty routinely. So it's part of it is about these big decisions on safety and standing down and weather and everything else. But estimation is a stopgap in very, very small pieces for us on a more routine basis, just when we have wrinkles in routes and staffing and that kind of thing. So again, it just reinforces how important this process was to try to make it better.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
I'll just add to Scott's comments. You know, we implemented the improvements around October, and Brian recently sent me some data on how the improved process is performing. It's exceeding expectations, and you know, on the graphs, it's, you know, looking like we've reduce the error by about half.
Wow.
So really a significant improvement, and just, you know, speaks to the technical skills of the team. You know, I know there was a lot of math that went into it, and, you know, looking at all the data and then updates and changes to SAP. So it certainly was a technical challenge, and they really rose to the challenge and did an outstanding job.
Well, thank you all for working so hard on behalf of our customers. Very impressive.
It's one of those many pieces of a complex organization that we usually don't hear about or know about. And so I find that part of it very interesting to look at all the pieces, and this piece at that time was critically important.
All right, well said. Well, a round of applause.
For sure.
Thank you.
Awesome job. Okay.
Next, we have item 3 on today's agenda, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not listed on today's agenda? Please state your first and last name for the record. I'll look for a few minutes. I'm not seeing any. Leela, are you seeing any?
I am not seeing any hands.
Okay, we'll move on to item 4, our consent agenda. 4A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of February 16th, 2021. 4B, bid awards, professional service contracts, and amendments. 4C, consideration of certification / ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I will call for a motion.
I move approval, and I have a question. What we talked about earlier about the contract awards, you know, that we approve, would the contract amounts that are in the current vouchers be already covered? You know, am I asking the question in a way that makes sense? So in other words, looking at those amounts, I assume that they are. So if one of these contracts that we're approving fell into one of those, you know, one of those buckets that we looked at earlier, Clark, that would already be approved. I mean,
so you're saying already budgeted? Is that what you're asking?
When we approve the amounts that are in today's checks and vouchers, are the new amounts reflected, or will that be after the 23rd? Will we be voting on that? Or I'm not worried about it. I'm just
so Commissioner, this is Clark. So if I'm understanding your question, you're asking about the payments in the checks and vouchers and how they relate to the contract awards. Is that
right? That's right. Correctly? Yes.
So the awards that you approve today, those contracts would be executed in the coming days, and invoices from those projects and contracts would show up in later listings in the vouchers.
Okay, thank you. You did understand. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? If so, please raise your hand. I've not seen any hand raised. Commissioner Wolf, do you have any other questions?
No, that's, I just was wondering about that when I was reading about it in preparation for this meeting, and I wondered, you know, so those, never mind. Yes, I that did answer my question. Thank you.
All right, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye, motion carries. Next, we have item 5, our CEO General Manager Report. Do you have a report for us today, John?
Yeah, just a brief one, just a couple items I wanted to share. One, we have some exciting news in Kim Johnson's Government Relations and External Affairs Group. They added a new position, State Government Relations Coordinator, and that to bolster our engagement in Olympia. Quentin Harrington started just this last month, and he will be right in the thick of the legislative matters alongside of Clark, particularly during session. And he will be a crucial jack of all trades for our government relations outside of session. He brings a wealth of knowledge through his previous experience as an executive legislative assistant for regional legislators, including the House Speaker pro tempore. And he was a paralegal and previously served in the Navy. So we are really glad to have Quentin as part of Team PUD. One other item I was just going to touch on today, good news regarding our bad debt, and specifically that over 90 days, it is continuing to trend down. It dropped by about $700,000 and a little over $1,000 in total accounts. Customer service just continues to do great work in regards to trying to address for our customers the bad debt. They've left over 11,000 doorknob tags, encouraging customers with who are in arrears to pay and not let those balances, you know, grow too large. And they're really just encouraging to reach out to our CSRs and figure out the best way we can get them onto a payment plan that will help them. They've developed through that outreach almost $3 million in payments and almost 1,700 in payment arrangements. So again, great work by our customer service folks just to continue to navigate through some of the ongoing challenges for our customers from the pandemic. And that's it.
Any questions?
No, I have none.
John, I had a couple of questions, not really on the report. So, if this isn't a good time to bring it up, I was curious if we are having any luck with the county or the health department or whoever in getting our employees vaccinated.
That's a great question. Rob Beidler, who is our point on the COT team, is really paying close attention, working with the county. We are still in the same status as far as sequencing for the vaccine. Jason, I'll let you, if you want to add in a little bit more, and or Kim, on any updates as far as where we are in the pecking order for the vaccines.
Yeah, so Commissioner Logan, we have identified our essential employees that need to be vaccinated and gone through a process of prioritizing them. Some we are finding are getting vaccinated, kind of outside of our process, which is a great thing right now. And I may not get the phases exactly right here, but we're in something like 1B4, and I think we're down in 1D as far as, electric utility workers go. So still a little ways away and don't have an exact timeline on when we will be to one phase, 1D, but I'll turn it over to Kim. She may have more details on that.
Yeah, not a lot of details I can share. Currently, we are not eligible in the current phases as they stand, but we are actively engaging with the state to try and bolster the case for our essential employees and show that there is a need and a desire. And we're working with our industry peers as well on that, so.
Thank you.
Just one last little comment I'll make. I was on the APPA board meeting and that this morning, and that came up. And APPA, as Kim mentioned, and others are working even at the federal level to try to get line employees or utility employees moved up on that pecking order.
Thank you. The other question I had is I saw that we had a grant to do a community solar project and that the proceeds were gonna go to our Project Pride. And I was curious if we had any idea annually what kind of money Project Pride might be getting from the project.
Yeah. Pam, I think would probably best be able to answer that. Pam, are you on?
I am. I was trying to unmute and I couldn't. I don't have those exact numbers with me, but we can certainly check into it and get that to you. There should be a good portion that goes to helping our vulnerable customers, and that can either be through the agency or through Project Pride itself. So we can either at the next meeting or between now and the meeting, we will definitely provide an update on that.
No hurry. I just saw it and I was excited about it and I was curious how much it would help the program. Thank you.
It is an exciting project.
All right. Next, we have item 6, Commission Business, Commission A, or 6A, Commission Reports. Is there any report, Commissioner Wolf?
Well, I had a meeting every day last week, APPA on Monday and Tuesday, PPC Members Forum on Wednesday, 8 o'clock on Thursday, PPC, and PNUC on Friday. So it was just a rip-roaring week of wonderful meetings. And another thing I did, although it's not directly part of the, it wasn't an official meeting, but I attended the Snohomish County Climate Alliance from 6 to 8 on PM on the 4th on Thursday. So that was nice. It was their first virtual meeting, and there are some fantastic people involved.
Good. You know, I went to those same TPC PNUC meetings, APPA, and I thought the presentation in PNUC on what happened to Texas and, right. You know, understanding how those things could affect us here was really, really fascinating. And, you know, it showed again how when the weather gets cold, regions get dependent on natural gas for electricity, and it's in competition with heating. And it reminds me when we had the pipeline issue a couple of years ago. So,
yeah, I'm just thankful for good journalism that digs down and, you know, like they revealed that, hey, no, it wasn't the windmills. It was the natural gas pipelines and all. I mean, it was partly the windmills, but they can weatherproof that. I don't know, John, have you been hearing talk about that? About what happened in Texas?
But the last 2 weeks, I have been in at least a dozen meetings that have been focused on, and I was part of a few others from the LPPC group who met with FERC Chairman Glick, Commissioner Clements, and Commissioner Christie. Each that obviously came up in each of those conversations. Mm-hmm. And then this morning, Jim Robb, the CEO of NERC, addressed it on the APPA board meeting. So there is just a lot swirling with wetland in Texas. And there obviously will be some lessons learned, but I think the biggest one is the fact that the gas industry is not regulated, both from a price and a supply perspective, and how dependent the energy world is on natural gas. Mm-hmm. And you'll see some things that kind of pull that into line, so to speak, to ensure that the reliability of gas aligns with the expectations around the reliability of the electric sector.
Mm-hmm. I noticed one of the bills in the state legislature does not include natural gas that provides electricity. That one is exempt or excluded from the other provisions of the bill. And I can't remember which bill it was, but anyway.
We are in a little different place, but natural gas still comes up when you start talking about resource adequacy, even in our region. Natural gas is still a topic because there really isn't other reliable capacity generation, but it is a huge, gas is obviously a huge player in the Midwest, is, you know, all across the country.
John, Kim's probably tracking this too. I think there's a Senate hearing in DC on Thursday for the same thing as well. A lot of the reliability leadership is going to be testifying there as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's a major deal, and they'll be going at this for a while, and we'll see some significant impacts on the energy sector.
Yep.
All right. Next, we have 6A, Commissioner Event Calendar. Is there any changes to the event calendar?
I don't think so.
Okay. And next, we have 6C, our 2020 Commission Budget Forecast and Major Project Status Report. It's at the very end of our packet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, near the end. Now I got to find it. Yeah, so I was pleasantly surprised to see where we ended the year, and I was curious how that compared to what we thought we were going to end the year when we approved our budget.
Yeah, Commissioner Logan, this is Scott Jones, District CFO. Let me just a couple quick comments, and Sarah can jump in here too. This is an early taste. You're going to see a little bit more of a detailed version of the year-end results, sort of the unaudited year-end results, I think at the next meeting. So Julie Anderson's going to be on then as well. Sarah kind of does a report that you've seen, this version during the year that compares to budget. And then Julie will give you a kind of a different flavor of some of the results as well. We ended a little bit better than we had been forecasting. And it's a lot of that is due to just everything going back into lockdown for the last 2 months of the year. There was a little bit of a tightening from the governor's perspective that impacted us in November and December and kind of pushed everybody back home a little more. So it jumped up the residential numbers in November and December a bit more than we were originally anticipating. So on balance, you know, we, from a financial perspective, we turned out an okay year in spite of the circumstances. Sarah, anything you want to add to that? Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you there.
No, that was a perfect answer. I would have answered something very similar. We had a lot of ups and downs throughout the year, but at the end of the day, it turned out to be pretty positive results.
Well, I really appreciate these reports we've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, Commissioner, let me just say one quick thing. I'm sorry, this is just going to be a plug for our customer assistance. The one thing that I would like us to just make sure we remember is that the district has put itself in a very good financial position to have the ability to do the very aggressive customer assistance stuff we did. It would be much harder for us to make some of those decisions about the customer assistance we gave out to the community if we weren't in a pretty good financial position. So we invested several million dollars into the community during this pandemic through customer assistance. And I think it's something we could be very proud of. And the fact that we can hold on to a pretty good financial position while doing that, I think is a really good testament to the district.
It's a good way to put it, to say we've invested in the community. It's true.
Yep.
Excuse.
Yeah, I would anticipate other kinds of local governments, it might have been more challenging.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'll just go on mute here.
Are there any other questions regarding the report? Okay, next we have item 7, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar other than I can't pronounce it? I'm not seeing any changes.
Nope.
Okay. Is there any further business to come before the board this afternoon? Okay. Hearing none, it is 1:59 p.m. and our meeting is now adjourned. Please stay healthy, everyone.